Rise up as we pray together. I welcome every one of you to this special Easter retreat in Jesus' name. I pray that this will be a special retreat for us. It will be a time of meeting the Lord face to face in Jesus' name. And from this very first night, it will be a night to be remembered. Just like the children of Israel, they remembered that night, a night of great manifestation of the power of God in their lives as a nation. I pray that this too will be a night to be remembered by you, by me, by every one of us in Jesus' name. We'll close our eyes as we pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you because you've granted us journey mercies to be here. Thank you for all our brothers, all our sisters, all our members, all the invitees. Thank you, Lord, because we're here, because you invited us. And we know that it's a special invitation you have given us. It will not be in vain in Jesus' name. We're praying, Lord, that everywhere this world will go, those of us who are here and those of us who are in various parts of this nation and various parts of this continent, Africa, and beyond Africa, Europe, America, Asia, everywhere, we pray that you send forth the word. You send your power with the word in Jesus' name. Send your anointing with the word in Jesus' name. Let the authority of the name of Jesus go with this word so that everywhere this word reaches, power will reach there. Anointing that breaks the yoke will reach there. Miracles of every shape and every value and every size and in all their varieties will reach everywhere in Jesus' name. From this very night, make it a night we'll never forget. An experience that will be unforgettable for the rest of our lives. Be with us, Lord, and anoint the word that comes out. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you very much. We can sit down. Once again, I welcome every one of you. It's wonderful to be together for the Easter retreat. As you might have known, we've always been having Easter retreat and also December retreat. And every time is a time of forgetting the things at home, forgetting the things of the past, and concentrating on the Lord, consecrating the whole time to be with the Lord, so that everything he needs to do in our spirit, in our soul, in our hearts, in our body, in our Christian life in general, and in the Christian ministry he has committed into our hands, we'll give him a chance to do that. And tonight, as we begin with this message, a night to be remembered, I come to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, I'm reading from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. The Lord was going to start a new thing with the children of Israel as a whole nation. That also translates to me, he was going to do a new thing in every life among the children of Israel. Every individual, every man, every woman, every child, and the whole nation as a whole. And this is recorded for you and for me, that the Lord is about to do something new, something special, something unforgettable, something that has not been done before. And I pray that every one of us will so open our hearts, open our lives, and allow him to do this new thing in Jesus' name. And so God said, it will be the beginning of life for them. the beginning of years for them, the beginning of a new area of existence for them. So he goes on in verse 3. Because he was going to give them instructions they were to follow. He was going to give them the steps they will take, the things they will do that will bring this new experience into their lives and into the nation. Verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. I want you to underline that in your Bible, a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Underline that, a lamb for an house. In verse 4, and if the household be too little for the lamb, underline that in verse 4, is the lamb. It says, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. In verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. In verse 6, and ye shall keep it up unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. As you look at what the Lord was telling them, he was telling them that this night to be remembered was going to be, number one, a night of redemption. They have been in captivity for so many years, and the captivity of so many years was going to stop that very night. Your captivity of many years will stop tonight. Not only a night of redemption, it was going to be a night of release. The Lord was going to release them out of the house of bondage. This night will be our night of release. Anything binding us, anything holding us down, anything physical, anything spiritual, anything emotional, anything economic, holding us down, chaining us down, tonight will be our night of release. For the children of Israel, they were living in the midst of the children of the Egyptians, and even though the Israelites were going to have a night of redemption, a night of release, for the children, for the Egyptians, it was going to be a night of retribution, a night of recompense, when all the evil they have done will be visited upon them. The enemies of the people of God will have this night a night of retribution. For the children of Israel, it was something new they had never seen before. That's why the Lord was telling them now what was ahead. Number 4, it was going to be a night of revelation. They will hear things they had never heard. They will see things they had never seen. They will experience things they had never experienced. And for you, for me, for us tonight, you're going to have a night of revelation. Experiences, inspiration, exploits, miracles, signs and wonders that were not seen until this time. This will be a night of revelation for you in Jesus' name. You see, these children of Israel, they had been in captivity for such a long time, and because of that captivity and the rigor and the oppression against their lives, they were sick, They were weak. Many of them were like invalids. But the word says that at this very time, he brought them out. And there was not one feeble among them. They discovered it was a night of recovery. Isn't it tonight your night of recovery? I said it's not tonight the night of your recovery. It will be in Jesus' name. A night of renewal, a night of revival. That's why the Lord told them that this is what you will do. Because everything now depended on the Lamb. The Lamb. I told you to mark your Bible in verse 3. It was a lamb. That was general. A lamb. Take a lamb. Household, take a lamb. Head of the family, take a lamb. By the time you come to verse 4, it's not just a lamb now, it is the lamb. It becomes very specific. It becomes very definite. The lamb. By the time you come to verse 5, it's now your lamb. Which means now you're having a personal faith, a personal trust, a personal confidence from a lamb to the lamb, now to your lamb. And this lamb that has become your lamb will now be killed, and the blood will be applied. Then we move to verse 12. For the Lord shall pass through the land of Egypt this night. That's the night we're talking about. And will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. The Lord revealed himself to these children of Israel, and he said, this is me, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God that made a covenant with the patriarchs and their forefathers. And the fulfillment of the time of the covenant, that time had now arrived. That's why I said it will be this night the Lord himself will pass through the land. Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token, for a sign, for a symbol. That's what I'll be looking for. The blood of the Lamb will be for you a token. It will be a sign upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. That's what began the deliverance of the children of Israel. What began the redemption of the children of Israel. What began the release of the children of Israel out of the land of captivity where they had been for many years. And this has been written for you and for me so that we can learn our lesson from this. Because we too will have a lamb. We too will have the lamb. And we too will have our lamb that has now become personal, that we trust, that we believe, that we know this is what he has done for us. I've read to you in Exodus chapter 12, the lamb for the nation. Now we come to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Exodus, the Lamb for the nation. John, the Lamb for the world. That the same sin, indeed more than what the Lamb in the Old Testament did, for the children of Israel, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, will do for you, will do for me, will do for us all together in Jesus' name. A night to be remembered. Three things to consider. Number one, the need for redemption. The need for redemption. The children of Israel had a need. For them, the need was obvious because they were in captivity. And for us, the need ought to be obvious. By the time you go through the scriptures, you will see the need for our redemption. Number two, the nature of our redemption. The nature of the redemption of the children of Israel is very clear from the story that we read about them. And the nature of our own redemption is also very clear, manifest, as we read from the scriptures. And you ought to examine yourself and examine your situation, your spiritual life, your moral life, your physical natural life, and your professional life, your family life, everything about you, and find out, is there any area where I definitely need redemption, total redemption, the nature of our redemption. Number three, the nearness of the final redemption. There is still another area of redemption that we're waiting for, and how near that is. Our redemption is near. We're looking at number one, the need for redemption. We're coming back to Exodus. In Exodus chapter 3, here God was talking to Moses. He was going to send Moses to the people of Israel in Egypt so that he will be used of God as an instrument to bring redemption unto them. And so he tells us in what he told Moses, we see the need for their redemption. And in this too, we see the need for our own redemption. Exodus chapter 3, I'm reading verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them. That word deliver, you could put to save them. That word deliver, you could put to redeem them. That word you could put to rescue them. Let me read with all those words which are like synonyms to that word deliver. For, and I am come down to deliver them, to rescue them, to redeem them, to set them free, and to release them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. As you look at those verses, many things stand out very clearly. The reason for their deliverance stands out very clearly. And the nature of that deliverance stands out very clearly. The need for redemption, and the need for deliverance, and the need for bringing them out. It says in verse 7, they were in affliction. I've surely seen the affliction of my people. It says in that verse 7, it says, have heard their cry. Because of the affliction so painful, because of the affliction so oppressive, because of the affliction so terrible, that's why they cried. And that shows the need for the deliverance, the need for the redemption. It also talks about their taskmasters. As you look at your life, anything that oppresses, anything that causes sorrow, anything that causes suffering, anything that drives you back from your goal, anything that makes you not to realize what the Lord has called you for, or what the Lord wants to accomplish in your life, your spiritual life, do you see any limitation, any hindrance, any oppression, any sorrow, anything that makes you unhappy, very painful? As you look at your health, are you seeing something like an oppression, that, like tax masters overlaboring you, oppressing you, tormenting your life, and that causes sorrow? In fact, at the end of verse 7, it mentions sorrows in the plural. That was what made it necessary, the necessity of redemption. As I come to verse 8, the Lord says, now I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. I want you to picture in your mind the Egyptians holding them down. Like maybe the Lucifer might be holding somebody down over there. The adversary, the enemy of progress, holding somebody down over there. That you feel like unfulfilled. You feel like a failure. You feel like you are defeated. And life has served you with something that oppresses you. And you're saying, who shall deliver me out of this body of death, out of this bondage? It goes on to say that the Lord has come to deliver them, and is going to bring them to a land that is good, a land of plenty, a land of joy, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that is fruitful. It says, now therefore, in verse 9, behold the cry. Again, it talks about their cry and their weeping. But then it also explains what the redemption is. From verse 7, it says, the Lord said, I've seen their sorrow. I'm going to end their sorrow. I've seen the affliction. I'm going to put an end to the affliction. I've seen all the predicaments. I'm going to put an end to all those predicaments. Then it says, I've come to deliver them. The deliverance is the redemption. The release is that redemption. And the setting free is that redemption. I'm bringing them out. The bringing out is that redemption. I'm going to bring them to a land that is filled with milk and honey. I'm going to bring them to that good land that I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is the time that I get them out, and then I bring them in, into the fulfillment of the promise, into the performance of the promise that the Lord had given. That shows the need or the necessity or the reason why they had that redemption. And as you look at your life, you're looking at anything missing there, any victory missing there, joy and fullness of life missing there, the fulfillment of the promise of God, they shall have life and life more abundantly, missing there, eternal life, spiritual life, the salvation of the Lord, the victory that comes with salvation, missing there. Tonight, we'll experience a redemption. You'll experience a release. We'll experience a revelation, a restoration. Restoration of every spiritual thing you have lost in Jesus' name. A recovery from that sickness, recovery from that weakness, recovery from that infirmity in your life. Total redemption, spiritual, natural, and physical, and emotional, in every area coming your way tonight in Jesus' name. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 15, Deuteronomy chapter 15, I'm reading from verse 15, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. A bondman in the land of Egypt. Nobody likes to be a slave. But these people, they were slaves to the Egyptians. And God said, that's the reason I'm redeeming you. Are you enslaved to anything? Enslaved to a bad habit? Enslaved to a besetting sin? Enslaved to an evil spirit? Enslaved to Satan himself? Enslaved to something that is more powerful than you are? Enslaved to something you want to get out, you cannot get out? I bring good news from Calvary to you. Good news from the Lamb of God unto you. That slavery is ending tonight in Jesus' name. The chains that tie you down to those bad habits, the sin that wants to pull you to eternal lake of fire, from sin, from bondage to sin and Satan, into that eternal place of abode for Satan and the evil spirits, the thing that is dragging you down, wanting you to spend eternity with Satan, tonight those chains will be loosed and broken from your life in Jesus' name. And thou shalt remember that I was a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee, delivered thee, brought you out, set you free. Therefore, I command thee this in this day. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 44, the need for redemption, the necessity of redemption, the compelling reason why you must be redeemed. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 22. It tells us in verse 22, I have blotted out as a sea cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. It talks about transgression, and it talks about sin. And it talks about both of those things in the plural, transgressions in the plural. And you remember the scripture says the way of the transgressor is hard. All the hardness, all the harshness of life that we're going through, the Lord is saying it's because of those transgressions. And he says, I want to redeem you from those transgressions, so that the harshness of life, the hardness of the way of the transgressor, he'll take it out of you. Because as long as sin is there, as long as transgression is there, the judgment will be there, the punishment will be there, the penalty will be there, the consequence, the condemnation will be there, the oppression and the plague and the suffering will be there. The way of the transgressor will always be hard. And that's why the Lord is coming tonight to you, and he's saying, look at those transgressions one by one, and look at those sins one by one. He wants to, many people want to remove the consequence of sin without removing the very root of that sin, which is a sin. But the Lord is saying, I clear away the sin, I blot out the sin, I give you forgiveness and cleansing, I turn your life around, and then all the consequences of sin will be taken away in Jesus' name. Jeremiah chapter 31, we're looking at verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 31, we're looking at verse 11. It says, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. The Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. And that is the reason the Lord sent the Redeemer unto them and showed them the way of redemption. Because they couldn't deliver themselves, they couldn't redeem themselves. Their enemy was stronger than them. their oppressor was stronger than them. The bondsman was stronger than them. Their captors who captured them, held them in captivity and bondage, was stronger than them. And because the enemy, the adversary, the bondman, was the bondsman, was stronger than them, that's why they couldn't deliver themselves. And the Lord said, now God himself, the Almighty himself, through the Lamb, through the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, he has come to deliver them and redeem them from the hand of him that was stronger than them. You might have found out that the things you battle against, they are stronger than you are. Your sins stronger than you could deliver yourself from. Your evil habits stronger than you could deliver yourself from. It might be the sin that comes over and over and over, and you sense it that although you come to church, if you continue life like this, eternal hell, eternal condemnation, eternal suffering will be the end, and you struggle and you cannot deliver yourself. Good news for you tonight: the Lord will deliver you from that thing that is stronger than who you are. The power of sin will be broken in your life in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes some people will say it's a little sin. Yes, a little sin. If it was that little, you could have delivered yourself. People say it's a little minor sin. It's a little thing, like, you know, like a termite, a mosquito, and yet it overpowers you, gets your nose, gets your face on the ground every time. But thank God tonight, the power in the blood of the Lamb will set you free. It'll so set you free that those sins, big or small, will never have any power over your life anymore in Jesus' name. Sometimes the sin that is stronger than you are may not be a sin, it may be a kind of sickness that you always fall into. That sickness, always fall into that sickness. You've tried this approach, that remedy, you've tried everything you could try, and yet that sickness is still there, and it now terrifies you, makes you afraid. It's like this thing might take your life. Good news for you tonight: you will not die. Amen. That sickness that is stronger than you, stronger than all the remedy you have tried to find until today, God will redeem you from that thing that is stronger than you are in Jesus' name. Sometimes it's not a sin, sometimes it's not a sickness, sometimes it's a spirit. And this evil spirit, evil power, evil personality tries to squeeze life out of you, that you feel, how can I be saved from this, redeemed from this, rescued from this, delivered from this? Tonight is a night to remember. That spirit will be conquered and cast out of your life even tonight in Jesus' name. Redemption by the Lamb, that redemption has come to you tonight. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 18. It tells us, for as much as ye know, it says you need to know this for a fact, that what brings the redemption is the blood of the Lamb, and this Lamb is unconquerable. He has conquered already, and this Lamb is irresistible. Already he died for you on the cross of Calvary. And he says, this you know. Walk on that. Lean on that. Stay on that. Rely on that. on that which you know, for as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. As of a lamb without blemish, without spot. Point number two, the nature of our redemption. This redemption we're talking about, what does it mean? What does it look like? How does it feel to have this redemption? Exodus again, chapter 12. I'm reading from verse 12. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. We're reading from verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a sign, for a token, for a symbol upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. We're thinking about now the nature of this redemption. For the children of Israel, what did that redemption look like? What did that redemption mean unto them? This is what it meant for them, for the children of Israel. Judgment. Universal judgment was coming upon everyone. The redemption meant that the judgment that came universally on everybody will pass them over. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. And so judgment, condemnation comes upon every man. Our redemption means that as the judgment of God is universal, worldwide, touching everybody, coming upon everybody, the people who repent, who turn away from their sin, and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they apply the blood of the Lamb upon their hearts by faith, the judgment that is universal all over the earth will pass them by. That's why if you have not been truly born again, if you have not been truly saved, if you have not escaped the judgment of God, if the judgment of God is still hanging on your head even tonight, if the Spirit of God is convicting you on sin, you know you are a sinner, and the soul that sinneth shall die, and the judgment of God is hanging on your head tonight, look to the Lamb of God. And as you look at the Lamb, and you look to the Lamb who was killed and slain for you, and you believe in the blood that was shed for you tonight, judgment will pass you over in Jesus' name. Not only that, physical death was going to come upon all the firstborn of the children of the Egyptians. That means those firstborn in the land of Egypt, they were going to die prematurely. A reckoning day, a final day had come for them. Their sin, their rebellion, their disobedience, their resistance to the will of God and to the call of God, which was epitomized in Pharaoh, it was going to be visited on the firstborn in the land. They were going to die prematurely. The nature of the redemption for the children of Israel is that that premature death on those Egyptians, the children of Israel will escape. Tonight, premature death will pass over you. Now the Lord was going to send an angel from heaven, angel of frost, angel of judgment, and it will pass through every house in the land of Egypt. The redemption for the children of Israel meant that the angel of death, the angel of wrath, the angel of destruction, and the angel of judgment will not be able to touch them once they applied the blood. When I see the blood, those evil angels, that is angels of judgment, angels of wrath, will pass over them. Evil spirits are everywhere, but tonight they will not touch your life. From tonight, everywhere you go, the mark of the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, that is the blood of Jesus, appearing on your heart, appearing over you. All the spirits that cause havoc, all the spirits that cause premature death, all the spirits of wrath, of judgment, and of condemnation, of destruction, they'll pass over you from tonight in Jesus' name. Look at verse 33. In verse 33, it tells us, and Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. Your enemies will leave you alone in a hurry. These Egyptians came and they said, Israelites, you can go, you can go. All the demand that Moses and Aaron had made, all this long period, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no, I'm not going to let them go. All the problem that remains stubborn in your life, redemption means that their stubbornness is broken tonight in Jesus' name. Anything that you have been saying, you've prayed and you have fasted, release me. Let me go. Let me leave the sin. Get off my life and get off my back and get off my body. And all that time you've been praying and seeking the face of the Lord, it appeared that Pharaoh was stubborn. It appeared your problem was stubborn. It appeared your sickness was stubborn. All that stubborn spirit tonight will get out in Jesus' name. Because now they came in haste and they said, get out. Now you can go. They will release you tonight in Jesus' name. Verse 41, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the self same day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Mark that word, all the host of the Lord went out of the land of Egypt. All of us were coming out. All of us were having that redemption. All of us were having that release. All of us were having that restoration. All of us were having that renewal, that revival in Jesus' name. No one will be left behind. This is a special kind of retreat where nobody will say, I didn't get my redemption. You will get your redemption. And then it tells us in verse 42 tells us, it is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. This is your night. I said, this is your night. A night you will live to remember forever and ever in Jesus' name. We're looking at Psalm 130. The nature of our redemption. The nature of the redemption that he gave to the children of Israel, which now is applicable to us. which now is translated, transmitted unto us. Psalm 130 verse 8. And he shall redeem Israel from, tell me out loud, tell me that again, all his iniquities. There are people who tell us they are born again, but they have not been redeemed from all their iniquities. The people who tell us that they are children of God and that they have been redeemed, they have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you look at their lives very closely, there are iniquities in their lives. There are transgressions in their lives. There are evil habits in their lives. There are besetting sins in their lives. They know it. God knows it. Satan knows it. The neighbors know it. And their conscience knows it as well. But the redemption that the Lord has promised, and the redemption that he wants to give, is redemption from all sin, redemption from all iniquities, redemption from all transgressions. And tonight is that night. As you surrender your life more fully unto the Lord, and you say, Lord, I don't want any sin remaining. Wholeheartedly, I want to follow the Lamb. Wholeheartedly, I want to follow the Lord. Wholeheartedly, I want my salvation, my redemption, my eternal life. I want it to conform to what you provided on the cross of Calvary, which is redemption from all iniquity, redemption from all sin, redemption from all evil, redemption from all transgression. I want my salvation to conform with what you did on the cross of Calvary. He will do it, and then you'll have the fulfillment of the promise of God that he, the Lord himself, shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Look at what the New Testament says in Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, telling us about this redemption from all iniquity. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave himself, that's our Savior, who gave himself, that's the Lamb of God, who went to the cross of Calvary and died for us, who gave himself, that's the one that shed his blood for your redemption, for my redemption, who gave himself for us, not for himself, for you, for me, for us, that he might redeem us from, tell me out loud, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That's what Jesus died for. He took the children of Israel out of Egypt, all of them, out of every sin in Egypt. And he wants to take you from all your sin, all your iniquity, nothing remaining, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. It will happen. I said it will happen. The time is near, and the Lord will do it for you, will do it for all of us in Jesus' name. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And I want you to look at the language of scripture. It says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, was delivered us. Remember once again that word deliver, was redeemed us. That means was released us. Remember, who has rescued us, he set us free, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. The nature of our redemption. You see, there are people, they think that the enemy is so mighty, the enemy is so powerful, the enemy is so tough, that there's no way they can be free from the power of the enemy. Tonight, you're free. Some people think their temptation is so strong that the iniquity, the sin, The transgression that they fall into every time is so mighty and so strong, they cannot be free. If you cannot be free, how do you get to heaven? Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. But the Lord is telling us that no matter how powerful, no matter how mighty, no matter how oppressive, captivating that sin is, that evil is, tonight he will deliver you. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness? There are people who are investigating powers of darkness, territorial spirit, land spirit, bush spirit, the spirit of mummy water, the spirit of this and that, and they feel that these spirits, territorial or water or marine or whatever, that they're so strong. They have to fast for how many days now before they can have a little breathing space. But the Lord is saying, what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary is so powerful and so mighty that tonight all those evil powers, they will release you. They will not bother your life anymore in Jesus' name. Because he has delivered us from the power of darkness, and now he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It will happen tonight. Now there is another redemption we're waiting for. When Christ will come, at the coming of the Lord, is bringing the final redemption, the full redemption. And that redemption is very near. That's why you need to get ready, because the coming of the Lord is very near. Luke chapter 21. The nearness of the final redemption. The nearness of the final redemption. Luke chapter 21. I'm reading from verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, now it's talking about the signs of his coming. I will see the signs all over the world right now that the Lord had given. And the Lord says, as you see these signs beginning to happen, when they come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We mustn't be so occupied with the things of the present time. Work, education, studies, marriage, life, activities, that we forget that the Lord is coming. We shouldn't be so occupied with healing, deliverance, miracles, signs and wonders, buying land, building houses, that we forget that the Lord is coming, and that he told the people, he told his people, and we are the people of God, that he is coming again. And that time of coming again is the redemption, the final redemption. That we're not to live for the world alone. We're not to live for the present alone. That he is coming and has given us the signs. And we see the signs all over the world. And he tells us, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your eyes, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now near at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh near at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. This generation shall not pass until all things be fulfilled. In verse 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Verse 34, take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves, lest in running after this and running after that, lest in making ends meet, lest in trying to make life a little bit more comfortable, we forget that Christ is coming. And we forget that we need to prepare and get ready for the coming of the Lord. And we forget that our redemption, final redemption, is near. It tells us in verse 34, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares, unprepared. It says there are people, churchgoers, it says there are people, so-called Christians, that they'll be so taken, they'll be so involved, they're so occupied with the things of this life, with work, with education, with extracurricular activities, with whatever profession, that the day will come upon them unawares, unprepared, for as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Many people on the face of the earth will not be prepared. They'll not be ready for the coming of the Lord. They'll not be ready at the time of that final redemption. And then he tells us in verse 36, but for you, watch ye therefore, and pray always. Praying always, not for healing always, but for to make it at that time of this final redemption. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that she may be accounted worthy to escape all this thing that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Remember, those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He says, watch, because a final redemption is near. Matthew chapter 24. I'm reading from verse 36. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. He's talking of the day of his coming, the day of that final redemption, when he will take us out of this world, out of this life, and he'll take us to the great beyond to meet the Lord in the air. There are people who are giving to false prophecy, and they are predicting the date of his coming, the time of his coming. They're saying it's going to be at this date, it's going to be at that date. Many people have set dates like that, and they have failed, because it says in that verse 36, of that day and that hour knoweth no man, knoweth no scientist, knoweth no prophet, knoweth no one on earth, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It happened before. Noah warned the people that judgment was coming universal upon the whole world. Prepare for the coming of the Lord. Prepare for that redemption. Final redemption is going to happen again. And that's what Jesus said, that as it was in the days of Noah, even so shall it be at the time of the Son, of the coming of the Son of Man. That's the time of redemption, final redemption, the day of that final redemption, when everything will be over, when the history of man will come to an end, and when the history of every individual on earth will come to an end. That day is coming. And he says get ready, prepare. That many people will take that information with loose hands and will not prepare. But it says, for us, the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. Their lives, walking was for eating and drinking. All their activities for eating and drinking. All their pursuits for eating and drinking. And the Lord said, it will be the same at the time of his coming. Marrying and giving in marriage. The only thing some people think about, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's why he's saying, get ready, prepare, because of the nearness of the final redemption. Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, I'm reading from verse 28. Luke chapter 17, verse 28. The redemption is near. Verse 28 tells us, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Do you do more than that? Do you go beyond the Sodomites, beyond the people of Gomorrah? Because in those days of Lot, they ate and they drank, they bought and they sold, they planted and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus, even so, shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Verse 32, can we read that together? 1, 2, 3, go. Can you say that again? For the last time. Remember Lot's wife. She looked back and became a pillar of salt. I pray you will not look back. I pray you will not go back. I pray you will not turn back. I pray you not slide back. See, there are some people, they're looking back. Looking back to the world they came from. Some people are turning back. Turning back to the world they came from. Some people are going back. Going back to their old boyfriend, old girlfriend, old lifestyle, old company, going back. Some people are just gradually sliding back. I pray you'll not slide back, because that day, final day of redemption, is very near. I'm looking at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. There are people who are laboring for the world to know them. All their aspiration, all their ambition, all their pursuit, all their desire, everything they try to do is that the world will know them. But the nearer you get to God, the nearer you prepare, the more you prepare for this final redemption day, the less the people of the world will even recognize you. And if the final day of redemption is the day you are dreaming of and desiring and passionately wanting to make, it will not be the pursuit of your life that this world will know you. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we shall be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be in that final day of redemption, that day when the Lord will have saved us and sanctified us and purified us and purged us and prepared us for the coming of the Lord. It says, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. The Lord is coming. Should be the pursuit of your life, your heart, to prepare for the coming of the Lord. In Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Revelation chapter 16, I'm reading from verse 15. Behold, he comes. Blessed are those people that prepare for his coming, preparing for that final day of redemption. In Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief in the night. Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and he see a shame. I pray God will help you to prepare. I say God will help you to prepare. Revelation chapter 22, I'm reading from verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. The day of redemption is very near. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city, the heavenly city. I pray you'll be there. But outside, without, are the dogs and the sorcerers, the whoremongers, the murderers, the idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. The people who are not ready for that final day of redemption, which is fast drawing near. The dogs, those who are unclean like dogs, those who are violent like dogs, those who fight like dogs, those who bark, try to destroy other people's lives like dogs, and the sorcerers, those who operate with familiar spirit, evil spirit, they're not ready for that coming day of the Lord. The whoremongers, the adulterers, the fornicators, the unclean people, the immoral people, they're not ready. The murderers, the killers, including those who commit abortion, the idolaters, idol worshippers, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, they are not ready. I pray you'll get ready. I said you'll get ready. Which means you repent of your sin, you come to the Lord, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then allow the blood of Jesus that was shed for you to cleanse you and to wash you whiter than snow. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that thirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The Lord is saying, you can have redemption today. You can have forgiveness. You can have salvation today. You can have eternal life today. You can have reconciliation with God today, and you can have this righteousness from the throne of God that prepares us for the coming of the Lord. You can have it today. Verse 20, he which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's rise up and pray to the Lord. Not the usual regular prayer, definite prayer. That the Lord himself tonight will make you to experience this redemption. There's redemption that he gives us now. There's a full redemption, a fuller redemption. That is a final redemption. Let's pray that the Lord himself will make you see the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world away. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. Are you born again? Are you saved? Are you a child of God? Have you given your heart, your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? There's a judgment coming upon the whole world, universal judgment. There is condemnation upon all sinners. There's the wrath of God revealed from heaven upon all transgressors. But the Lord is saying, look up, Jesus has died for you. Look up, the blood of Jesus has been shed for you. Look up, your forgiveness is ready, available. And you can say, Lord, forgive me. And if you have been falling into sin and falling into sin every time, be very careful, be very careful, be very careful. The Lord is about to come. And if he meets you in that condition, backslider, meets you in that condition, under the captivity of besetting sin, meets you in that condition, under the bondage of sin, where do you hope to spend eternity? If he meets you, conquered, captured by that besetting sin, where will you spend eternity? The trumpet may sound at any time. The Lord may come at any time. Settle with the Lord today. The Lamb has been slain already. The blood of the Lamb has been shed already. What he did by the blood of the Lamb, when we turn away from our sins and we turn to the Savior, you have sorrow for sin. You're sorry for your sin. You're burdened because of your sin. You know that if you die in the condition of a sinner, you'll go to hell forever and ever. You tremble because of your sin. And you know God will not excuse any sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. The Lord is coming, and he wants you to lay everything, confess and forsake. Confess and forsake. Let him redeem you from all iniquity. Don't allow any sin to still hide there in your life. And then look to Calvary, look to the cross. Say, Jesus, here am I. Jesus, here am I. I believe that you died for me on the cross of Calvary. I believe you shed your blood for me. I believe that blood cleanses us from all sin. I believe it can purge me and purify me. I believe. If you have been saved, tell him to sanctify you and take away that root of sin. that inward sin, that hidden sin that maybe nobody knows, but you know that he will sanctify you, purify you, purge you from that old Adamic nature. That's why I shed his blood. That's why I shed his blood, to save you and sanctify you, to pardon you and purify you, set you free from transgressions, set you free from all iniquities. Redemption, 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 salvation greater than any physical blessing, sanctification greater, mightier, higher than any temporal bodily blessing. I get you ready for the coming of the Lord. Remember the nearness of the final redemption. Are you a backslider? Remember Lord's wife. Remember Lord's wife. And say, Lord, I don't want to become a pillar of salt. I don't want to die a backslider. I don't want to die a wanderer, wandering from this place to that place. I want to be ready when you come. Getting ready for that final redemption. I pray the Lord will make you ready in Jesus' name. Are you there? I said the Lord will make you ready in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the plan of redemption. We thank you because whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray, Lord, conviction for sin will come upon all sinners tonight in Jesus' name. That no sinner here, no sinner anywhere hearing this message will have peace of mind until he or she totally surrenders unto you in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for those who have been coming to church, coming to retreat, coming to all these programs, and yet they still have sin in their hearts. And they don't seem to bother about the sin, about the condemnation, about the nearness of the day of redemption, and about the fact that they could go from church to hell. Oh Lord, I pray that serious conviction, fiery conviction, soul-stirring conviction will trouble their hearts and drive them to Calvary in Jesus' name. We pray that as the arrow of the word comes forth, as the fire of the word comes forth, no sinner will be able to hide. Awaken everyone in Jesus' name. That Lord, as we look up to you, turning away from sin, turning to the Savior, I pray, Lord, there will be real redemption. There will be real salvation. And I pray that the power of sin, you will break away from every life in Jesus' name. Lord, we know that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We are praying, oh Lord, that your people who are saved, sanctify them. Purify them. Make them holy. Help us, Lord, through and through to hate sin like we hate the deadliest poison in Jesus' name. Lord, we know that where there is no sin, sickness will not be there. When there's no sin, Satan will not be there to torment. And therefore we pray, Lord, that as you redeem your people from all iniquity, save them from all iniquity, I pray every sickness will flee away in Jesus' name. And I break the power of sickness in your life. The power of that plague I break from your life in Jesus' name. The name of the Lord sets you free. The blood of the Lamb sets you free. And I command your freedom, your deliverance right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, touch everyone. Heal your people. Deliver your people. Lord, beyond that, above that, more than that, set your people free from all sin. That we will live a life that makes us ready for the coming of the Lord. Confirm all forms of miracles, natural, physical, spiritual, in every life in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray.